and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I got up the stairs with the long dress without tripping. I feel like I've achieved something today. Who loves Christmas time? I'm enjoying it already. I really have to go. You know what? You've still got a few more weeks to finish this year. I'm getting right into the Christmas spirit, and we've got lots going on. Before I get into the word today, I did want to just mention, as you would have seen on the screen, Carols in the Shire is coming up next Sunday night. I'll talk a little bit more about that as the message goes on, but it is going to be absolutely beautiful, and the kids are going to feature hugely in this one. I've been rehearsing the item at home, and all sorts of great surprises. It's going to be bigger and better than before, and just some really beautiful surprises with our team. You're going to love it. A lot of it is just really homegrown, but like wow factor squared. It's going to be amazing. Our Christmas Day service, our traditional 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. service is going to be on, so the doors will be open for you to bring friends and family and to get you home on time to rescue your turkey in your oven or whatever you do for your Christmas lunch. And so that is going to be a beautiful service as well. Before I get into the word, I did just want to mention a couple of really amazing things that happened this week in our midst. And the first one is every year the Australia Day Awards for our area are announced at the end of the year, and Horizon Youth Ministry, both Force and Chosen, won Community Group of the Year for 2019. Now, can I just ask Alyssa, Pastor Alyssa and Pastor Jackson, to stand up on your feet? Just stay where you are. Can we give them a hand? Now, stay standing. Do not do a sneaky and sit down. Let us properly honour you for the work that you do. We don't do what we do for these types of awards. That's certainly not the motivation for why we do what we do. We would do it. We're driven by the love of Jesus Christ. And every single Friday and throughout the week, Friday's just the big expression of it, and then Sunday church, but throughout the week, Alyssa and Jackson are pastoring and leading and praying and investing and planning. They are two of the most hardworking people I've ever met, passionate, godly, full of the Holy Ghost, and they're really, really young, actually, the both of them, but much more advanced than their years would suggest. But they got this recognition because our community is waking up and seeing. Can we have a look at the photos? Is that okay? Now, Alyssa's not in these because Jackson kind of made light of this. Now, in typical Jackson style, he sort of thought, oh, yeah, you know. He didn't realize how big this thing actually was. So we got a quick call about 5 minutes before the presentation that we probably should get down here because something big's about to happen. So Pastor Brad quickly changed his shirt and Jackson quickly scrubbed up after being in Sri Lanka. And Alyssa was nowhere to be seen but in our hearts very strongly. So can we honor them for their amazing work with our youth? We love you. We know that's not why you do it, but gee, it's nice when our community sees what is going on in this place. Pastor Brad is in Papua New Guinea, currently in Port Moresby, and they are holding the 70th anniversary for the AOG in the nation. In fact, the AOG has kind of transformed the nation. It's been a highly influential thing, so much so that aid and development people that study Pacific nations know that in order to have effective delivery of aid and development in Pacific nations, you need to do it through the church, otherwise it doesn't work. Isn't that amazing that the church has that much traction in these nations? And Pastor Brad was invited by the national executive to preach all meetings of the 70th anniversary, the national 70th anniversary of AOG, one of the largest and most influential church groups in the nation. So I think that's pretty amazing. Why don't we just celebrate that as well? And you can check out his Instagram and all that kind of thing for, you know, some stories of what's going on. There was many souls saved last night in the crusade. Many, many young people at this thing, which is just real hope for the Pacific nations. I just have a lot of faith in my heart for what God is doing in those nations. So Very, very exciting times for us, church. Who feels that? It's just, honestly, I said to Pastor Brad as he's sort of texting a few things through to Pastor Ali and myself about what's happening. It's like, it's Isaiah 60, you know, literally nations and kings will come to the brightness of your rising to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Now, I feel like I have been initiated as a parent because I went to a Wiggles concert yesterday. And I do have to say, and I know that Bianca Stora was there as well at the later edition. Did you cry when the big red car came out? It was Santa. I just, when the big red car came out and they finally entered the stadium or the auditorium, I actually cried, you know. It was this sense of, like, I just know how happy this is making my little boy, you know. I was up there doing the propeller. Stop laughing at me, Chris. I was doing the propeller and I was rockabying my bear and Ollie was just sitting there like a 70-year-old analysing the whole thing. And it was an amazing experience. I went, though, I've got to admit, like one of my friends, when I text her a photo, Larissa goes, "You're a good mum." And I'm like, I'm not going to tell her that I didn't get my stuff together and actually book the tickets when they first got released, like every other good mum, probably Bianca, booked when they first got released and got the floor tickets and stuff. I went because my friend Jenny, who works at the ICC, got gifted Wiggles tickets. And she's kind of not really into Wiggles at the moment. And so I got the tickets for Ollie and I. It was a choice of one or two kids. And I'm thinking, do I want to wrangle Harry as he runs around? Or do I want to take the more analytical child and enjoy the experience? I took Ollie. And so I went because I was invited. And I loved it. And I love invitations, really. There's so many aspects about invitations that I love. I love the colour. I recently got given this beautiful invitation from Yvette and Rory, actually, to attend their son's wedding. And it was, one of the best events I've ever been to in my life. It was choreographed and planned, and there was so much love and so much reflection of who they are as a family, a very global family. But the invitation itself was almost like on this glass type perspex. It was grand and beautiful. And I love the way that events and invitations display the individuals that are involved. I love how they, whether they're a garden picnic or a really grand event, they say something about the people who invited. And sometimes, you know, even if I can't go, which is actually really frequent with toddlers, I actually love it just as much because I feel really thought of. Do you feel that way when you receive an invitation? I love it. I also love the spontaneous invites. Whenever I work with Kelly Weitz, if I'm sitting with her doing an hour's work, she's done some illustrating for me recently. She's a very, very talented artist. And I knew I was going for an hour. I knew time for both of us was precious. But she says to me, always her invites include bring the boys. And I'm like, you have no idea inviting. But sure enough, we brought the boys. And of course, one thing rolls into another and we're having dinner spontaneously. And Carl and Kelly are bringing out their best. And we're just having the greatest conversation. I love spontaneous invitations as well. I loved reading through Harry and Meghan Markle's, Harry, you know, the Prince, and Meghan Markle's wedding invitation because it was loaded with royals, film stars, music celebrities, you know, Oprah, Priyanka Chopra, you know, the Beckhams were there, Serena Williams. I just felt like I was at the wedding, you know, just watching all these A-listers. And it really intrigues me. But what I found even more interesting about this couple, which is why potentially they're so lovable and people like you and me warm to them so much, though we're so at a distance, is that 2,640 people from the public were invited to come into Windsor Castle grounds and enjoy the wedding as well. Just commoners like you and I, maybe some of you are royals, not to put you in the same basket as me, but they were just ordinary everyday heroes that had done great things in their community, serving their community so well. You know, people like Dave Lovell, who serves on the beaches in Australia. Can we give him a hand? He didn't go to the wedding. I'm just giving you example, okay? He didn't go to the wedding. People like the Thistlewaites that are just ordinary everyday Australians that are serving in Roddy Island and doing a phenomenal job. People like Jim and Julie Peters, who are just local heroes that we absolutely love, that serve our rural churches. People like that got invited to that wedding. But there was also 1,200 youth that had shown extraordinary leadership in their community. Doesn't that say a lot about the couple that they would make their wedding like that? I just think that's really beautiful. Christmas really is awash with invitations. In fact, this kind of time of year can be a bit of a blur, whether it's staff parties, whether it's graduations. If you have little kids at school, there is no shortage of invitations, is there? Whether it's neighbours' drinks or whatever goes on in your neighbourhood, even if you don't have all those invitations going on because you're in a different season of life, I would say the catalogues that arrive in my mail every day around Christmas time are an invitation to get suckered in to buying more and more, okay? So there is invitations wherever you look around Christmas time. My favourite gospel in the Bible is actually, thank you, Carl. Stay there. Just flash your new ring. Carl turned 30 this week and Kelly got him a beautiful onyx ring. So girls, if you need Christmas present ideas for your special other, Kelly is the one to see. She buys well. My favourite, getting back to the business at hand, however, my favourite gospel in the Bible is actually the Gospel of Luke. I love it because Luke is thorough, and I love it because at the get-go, he states his purpose. He's very honest and upfront. I'm doing this, Theophilus, to give you a record of the amazing events that we've all observed. I also love Luke because his gospel flows into Acts, and if we were really proper about putting things in chronological order or putting things together in a logical sequence in the canon, Luke and Acts would go together because Luke goes on and says, you know what, the finished work of Jesus Christ and the miraculous acts that he did, they go on and on and on, and it sets up for this very powerful church that 2,000 years later we are a part of. That's why I love Luke. Does anyone else love Luke here? I think it's an amazing... Yeah, Joe, come on. I love the book of Luke. And right at the get-go, chapter one, the guy jams an action-packed kind of record of events into this short space of time in chapter one. He doesn't even take three or four chapters to warm up. He gets to the point straight away. And in chapter one, we see two couples or two... people who will receive a promise that are very, very unlikely. The first couple are Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they are an older couple that are way past childbearing years. Not only that, but they have actually experienced long-term infertility. In fact, through their childbearing years, they could not have children from no fault of their own. They were good, good people. And an angel appears to Zechariah and says, in a very implausible and unlikely scenario, you're going to have a son. The second person is Mary, equally unlikely. Very, very young. In fact, many scholars say she was likely a teenager. She was not even married, and the Bible is very clear. She was pure. She wasn't involved in stuff prior to marriage that she shouldn't have been. There was no natural reason for her to be told by an angel, you will be pregnant. You will carry the Son of God. So we have two very unlikely events back to back in the first chapter of Luke. And then on top of that, two invitations to those groups of people to get gloriously messed up and involved headlong in the purposes of God. It was an invitation issued to these people to basically be involved in the salvation of humanity. No small thing for one chapter of a book. You know, it's an invitation to be part of the plan. This morning, I actually want to just focus on one of the invitations, although I will mention the other to you at some point. You can listen for it. But I just want to talk this morning about the invitation to Mary, okay? So let's have a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 27 to 38. This may be your first Christmas time hearing this story as a follower of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a glorious fact that there is people in this room that for the first time, maybe it looked very different last year for you at Christmas, and you're here with us simply because you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. He saved you, and now you're reading this story through the lens of a believer. I think that's worth celebrating. Can we give those people a hand? There's many of them. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I think I would be too. And wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Isn't that a powerful declaration? Other versions say, "No promise from God is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God." Whether you find yourself this morning at the spectrum of going, "God, I've waited so long and it hasn't happened," or whether you find yourself very young and being given promises too incredible for someone so young, nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So here in a very ordinary place in Nazareth, in a very, very ordinary family, is an ordinary girl given an invitation to be a part of world history. The invite was delivered by an angel. So it's an angelic invite to be a part of an incredible plan. The RSVP was a simple faith acceptance that, yes, I will join God's plan to change the entire world for all generations. You know, God had a plan to send Jesus through a chosen method, which always baffles me. I don't know about you, but he chooses to partner with humanity. Have you had a look at us lately? Have you looked at what's going on in the world? I just think it is so incredible that he chooses a person to carry the promises of God. It is a profound trust that he would trust us. It is a profound and risky partnership that to this day I can't fully get my head around. He could have placed Jesus on the earth. It was in his power. He could have formed another man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, like Adam. But he chooses a person to carry the promise of God. He chooses a person in all their failings, for Mary was amazing, but she was not perfect. Mary was beautiful of attitude and heart, but she was young, and there was nothing about her, naturally speaking, that made her worthy of this. He chooses someone to carry Jesus into the world in this most trusted partnership that splits history ultimately in half. You know, this Christmas, I reckon God is just about as risky and trusting as he was with Mary that day when an angel came and issued her an invitation to carry Jesus. I think that maybe this Christmas there is an invitation going out to you and me to get wholly and solely involved in the purposes of God for this earth. I feel like God is saying, will you get your hands dirty with the miraculous journey of seeing people come into the kingdom of the Son he loves? I feel like there's an invitation going out this Christmas for you, like Mary, to carry Jesus to the world. Because we talk about invitation, and I love it. I never, ever want to stop talking about invitation for those that don't yet know Jesus Christ. And we will talk more about that invitation, both shortly and in the weeks to come. But before the message of Jesus becomes an invitation for people who don't yet know him, the invitation to join in the purposes of God must first be accepted by those that know him. Before anyone can receive an invitation through someone that carries Jesus, those that know him now, must first accept the invitation to get wholly and solely involved in his wonderful, exciting, risky, sometimes messy plan to carry Jesus to the world that we know. So this morning, I want to tell you about an invitation with your name on it this Christmas. And you can insert name, and we've got some beautiful names in the room this morning. I want to tell you about the features of an invitation that God has put out to you this Christmas with your name on it. And I believe that as we take this invitation like Mary, we RSVP in faith in God, that God can take that act of simple humility and faith, breathe on it, and do something amazing. Who's with me this morning? Let me pray for you. God, I just thank you that in this room, there is so much potential, God. That in this room, God, literally over 350 invitations are going out this morning to say, will you join me in the risky and rewarding business of salvation of the world? God, I pray this morning that you would divide your word so many different ways that your spirit would be active in this room and that we would not say, no, that invitation is not for me, but we would see ourselves in your cosmic plan, God, that we would see how clearly you've written our name into that plan. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want to tell you about your invitation is that it is an invitation to believe. It is an invitation to believe. Mary, I just find there is such a beauty to her. Look, I know that I really find it not hard to believe how some traditions in Christianity have almost deified Mary. My mum was saved in the Catholic Church, and I have incredible and immense respect for the Catholic Church. Please excuse me with my voice. I feel like I'm going through teenagehood again, but yes, anyway. I just don't find it that hard to understand why Mary is often deified. And there is such a beauty to her, such an honesty and a realness, actually, that draws me to this story. And when an angel shows up in her everyday world, you know, out of literally nowhere, making the most ridiculous and amazing claims, she literally just asks the honest question, how will this be? Not in unbelief, not in prove it to me tones, but in a humble God, would you just explain a little bit more? Do you know it's okay to ask God for clarification? Do you know it's okay to say to God, I want to be in, but help me understand, help me join in the plan with you? But after her very pure and honest question is answered, she rests in God and believes. She just rests in the moment. It's settled, and she gets on with the business of carrying Jesus quite literally to the world. Later in the passage, and I love this, the provision of God for us to carry him. She goes to her cousin Elizabeth's place, and Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. So she's a woman that is a step ahead of Mary. She knows what the morning sickness feels like. She knows what the inconvenience feels like at times, getting up 100 times at night to go to the loo. She knows what it feels like to actually carry something that was quite unexpected, actually. Elizabeth, postmenopausal, pregnant in her community. Imagine what that was like for her. And Mary, at the very beginning stages of carrying Jesus, at a time when promises can be aborted for lack of faith, when death can be spoken over promises, God provides an Elizabeth in the life of Mary.
And this is Elizabeth's observation of Mary as Elizabeth is singing prophetically, as John the Baptist is jumping in Elizabeth's womb because he's like, yes, the Messiah is coming. There is so much miraculous about this story. Elizabeth declares, Luke 1:45, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. She was a woman of faith, simple faith. God, you say the word and I'll follow. I may ask for clarity at times. I may be real with you and say, but how? I can't see it. But help me, God, understand your purposes. But at the end of the day, she rested in the promises of God and trusted that he had the power to fulfill what he had promised. Mary gave herself over to the salvation purposes of God. She literally gave her whole life, her body, her mind, the attention and affection that she would have given that child. She gave herself to God's salvation plan. It's interesting though, the shadow and shade of this story and the shadow and shade in the Bible. Just verses before, Zechariah, an old man, a priest, someone who knew and walked with God, someone that God did trust, someone we know was a good man. God loved this man. God trusted this man. Is told that he will have a son. Zechariah, however, probably weary from the years of waiting. Maybe his heart was sick from waiting. Maybe he'd just given up. Maybe his heart was just a little weathered with life. Maybe it's hope deferred. Maybe it's just blatant unbelief. But he cannot take God at his word when God promises and says in Luke 1:18, how can I be sure of this? In a kind of prove it God attitude. And can I just say, God still delivers to Zechariah and Elizabeth. God doesn't wipe Zechariah out of his plan. God is so kind, honestly, to this guy. And he understands that I believe there is an understanding in the heart of God that just gets Zechariah. But they still get their promised child, but his heart is just weathered. And I believe as I was preparing for this message that maybe there are some under the sound of the word today and your heart is just a little bit weathered. Maybe you've tried a few too many times in your estimation. Maybe you have been praying and believing for family members and friends and you put yourself out there and you've had knockbacks and there's been things that have cluttered your spirit and your heart from believing. And I believe that, I really see that the invitation to God, from God to you this morning, is to believe again. Believe again. To return to that place that Mary, this simple and beautiful and trusting young woman, that God can restore your youth, Isaiah says, that you can run again in the promises of God and that you can believe again that God will use you. Believe that God will breathe on the invitation. Believe that your friends and family members can be saved. Believe that God has actually gone before you, that it's not just you initiating an invitation, that God is at work and you are just discovering where he's already working and joining with the purposes of God. To believe again that prayer is working in the unseen places of the hearts of the people you're praying for. To believe again that you can carry Jesus into the world of people that don't yet know him. You know, when the angel answers Mary's very honest how question, she declares, the angel declares that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Today, an invitation is going out to you to believe that God can do it, that salvation still works, that sharing your faith will bring a result. For nothing is impossible with God. It's as fresh for you today as it was for Mary, the call to carry Jesus into the world. The second thing about your invitation this morning to carry Jesus into the world is it's an invitation to actually carry. Let me explain. During Luke 1, we see two women, Elizabeth and Mary, and they are literally carrying babies that would change human history. The first, Elizabeth, gives birth to the one that would usher in the Saviour of the world. She is carrying a child that has so much destiny on his life, that John the Baptist, he would baptize many, he would preach to a world that was dry and weary and without God in many respects, and he would usher in the Saviour of the world. The other, Mary, would carry Jesus, the one that literally would split history in half, BC and AD, the one that would transform human history, the one that would change the shape and fashion of our laws, the one that would have impact that he's still preached 2,000 years later in great potency, the one that as I speak and as Pastor Brad is preparing now for the crusade tonight, that miracles will happen by his very name, that demons will be driven out. This little woman from a poor community, under oppression from a tyrannical ruler, she carried that child that changes lives today. The moment of the promise was spectacular. The moment of the promise, you know, an angel so great that he has to say on two counts, don't be afraid. That's how awe-inspiring it was. The moment of the promise was amazing. The moment of the promise had all of heaven hovering over it. I have no doubt that there was a tangible sense of the anointing and power of God in that room as that angel was speaking. The moment of the promise was spectacular. All of heaven hovered over it. But what followed was 9 months of carrying. What followed that angelic moment, that powerful moment, the moment of receiving the promise, was literally 9 months of carrying. Months where Mary could have wondered, is anything actually happening here? Because for the first little while, not much does. Not much that you know of. Times where she could have questioned God, is this really happening? Did this really just happen? Times when there was probably massive inconvenience. Don't tell me that riding a donkey to Bethlehem when she was 9 months pregnant with a guy that had never been a father before, through the arid Middle Eastern landscape, don't tell me that wasn't inconvenient. I don't care how spectacular that visitation was. I'm telling you, she carried the thing for 9 months and it was real. It was pretty ordinary and probably lots of opportunity for fear to rear its ugly head. You know, the Bible is economical with words. It doesn't bog you down in lots of unnecessary detail. But we relate to its humanity and its human experience, and we can fill in the gaps enough to know that she carried that baby for 9 months. She heard a miraculous promise, but then there was a process of carrying. For carrying is a process. And can I just say, when it comes to sharing your faith, it's a journey. When it comes to carrying Jesus to the world, yes, there are moments of the miraculous, and I've experienced them this year as I have in the past. There are people that I've witnessed to, and there's been a miraculous dimension to it. But can I just say, most of carrying Jesus to the world for me has been a journey and a process, a delightful one, a satisfying one, a fulfilling one, because you are made to carry him, and if you are bored with life, maybe sharing Jesus to people that don't yet know him is going to actually bring to life your heart again. But carrying's a process. Mostly, it's going the journey and trusting that God is at work, sowing in faith and waiting. It's praying. It's befriending. It's just being a friend. Some of it's just being really resilient at the knockback. So I'll never forget when I was school teaching at a school called Skeggs, and I was under great suspicion because I took studies of religion classes. I taught them and I was a chaplain for middle school at one point. And I remember the revolting attitudes at times because of what I taught. There was respect for me professionally, but scratching their heads that why would someone be so stupid to teach this stuff? And I'll never forget at a school camp, it was a year six school camp, and Dom Lenzo was born during that camp, actually. Deb, I remember it very clearly, getting a text from Deb that Dom had become, that he'd come into the world. And I remember at that camp, as I sat up late at night and a bunch of teachers were talking and drinking and enjoying cheese platters. It wasn't a Christian school. What's that got to do with it? I remember the art teacher in the quietness of the moment sitting up late asking me questions about spirituality. And I'm thinking, you know what? Had I not had a resilient heart, had I not shut my ears to the mocking and the jeering, had I not just gone, you know what, God, I'm going to have thick skin, soft heart. I never would have got to actually preach the gospel to that guy at that camp. I never would have earned his trust enough for him to hear and maybe become saved because of what he heard. It's literally a work of time, a lot of it. It's a journey. It's a work of time carrying Jesus into the world. It's loving people enough for the supernatural, unseen process to take place in their lives. Can I just say, don't be turned off by an initial response. Don't be turned off. You know, we listened to True Stories last week, and we listened to the fact that many of the people that shared their stories said, I was invited several times. And in fact, I was quite blunt in rejecting the invitation. Can I say, don't give up on people. Have a resilient heart. Have a soft heart but thick skin when it comes to rejection. Don't let those things get in the way of going the journey with people. This morning, I want to put something in your hand to help you sow the seeds that you need to on this journey. And so if the host team could come now and just hand out the packs, I want to put some invitations in your hand this morning before we get to the end of the service. And I actually want to give you something practical to sow the seeds of the journey of carrying Jesus to the world. Every single year, we give out these invitations, and we're very, very specific that we put resource into them. They're not just something simple and quick. They've got beautiful foiling on them. We want them to look like Christmas cards for you. We want them to actually be something beautiful to give to your friends and family. So if you could take a pack, if you need more than one pack, so if you're planning to letterbox your street or your apartment, you can take a couple more, please feel free. And there will be more in the foyer as well. But can I tell you some secrets of people who've done this effectively before, that have gone the journey with people and used this very, very easy time of year just to sow seeds of faith and invite someone to Christmas carols? So some people take these invitations and they will literally write a little note to their friends and family, put it in a Christmas card or at work, and put the personal touch on it. Some people, and Milani does this year after year, does the baking, you know, gingerbread cookies and all that kind of thing. And every neighbour in their unit block receives a little thing of cookies and an invitation to carols. I think it's beautiful. It's really lovely. Some people letterbox their street and they pray for every family and every household. Can I just say, there may just be people that came to church this year and got saved that you don't know live in your street that you prayed for last year. I actually think that's highly possible. I have seen stranger things happen. Can I encourage you? There are so many ways to use these invitations. But what you do need to do is commit to the journey of carrying Jesus. There is a sense that I believe God is calling us to RSVP to the invitation of carrying Jesus. Would you just keep your invitations with you? We're going to pray shortly, but I just, before we do, I just want to finish a couple more thoughts in the Word, and that is finally an invitation to see those who are waiting. And Jones, you're so welcome to come up at this point. People are waiting to be issued an invitation. And like I said, with that teacher that I spoke to at Skeggs, he had been waiting for the 3 years that I was teaching at that school to ask me questions. He was waiting for an invitation, waiting for the right moment. I had another friend at that school who had some populist Buddhist views. I'm reluctant to call her a Buddhist. She was not in its purest form, but had some very populist ideas. And we literally just struck up a very genuine and heartfelt friendship that still exists to this day. And I just shared Jesus on the journey with her for 3 years while I was teaching at that school. And she came to things at church. She came to a Christmas carols, actually. But literally 3 years. And she says to me on the last day of school, the year that I was actually leaving to go into full-time ministry, "So you are telling me that you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father and the only way to be saved?" And I'm like, "Yep, yes, Lisa is her name. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying." And very, very shortly after, she became saved, gave her life to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, people are much more willing and open than you realize. You think that people are hard because you're seeing them by the flesh. But Jesus encourages, don't read people by the flesh. Read them by the Spirit, the heart of the person. You know, I've had the privilege just this year alone to see this at work. And I have prayed for political leaders in other nations this year, open to God when they were invited. I've stood with Yvette McDonald in a line at Sydney Airport and watched her witness to a French man going to a spiritual conference. And he was searching, and he was remarkably open to what she had to say. I watched an Indian man in a hotel foyer tell me that he desired to feel God and the reality of God. I've spoken with daycare workers in our everyday lives that we see every single day, open to spiritual things, open to know more about this God that we serve, open to know more about this church that we attend. I've had people at weddings pour their heart out as we're standing on a balcony away from the crowd and allow me to pray for them. I've sat next to strangers on planes who are spiritually seeking. I've had friends and acquaintances show signs of hunger that may be missed to the imperceptible eye. Can I encourage you, Horizon Church? People are so much more open than they look, and certainly so much more open than you realize. We are all the same. There was a time when you didn't know Jesus. There was a time when to the naked eye, you didn't look interested. And yet someone had the resilience and the guts to invite you, to pray for you. And you know what? Even if you grew up as a child in the things of God, like I did, someone prayed for my mum. Someone had the guts to invite her to church. Someone in this little small group in Canberra she used to attend had the guts to ask her if she wanted to accept Jesus as her Saviour. And because of their seeing her openness, because they didn't miss it, I get to know Jesus. My sons get to know Jesus. Can I say to you, don't miss the opportunity. Don't be like so many people are and just decide on the day that, yeah, I'll go to that event. No, RSVP to God. Can I say this morning, RSVP to God and say, "Yes, I accept your invitation to carry Jesus to the world." I like Mary, will say, "God, I don't always understand how. I'm pretty average. Maybe I'm not very good at talking. Maybe I'm a bit shy. But there is an invitation nonetheless, and it doesn't rely on how amazing you are, believe it or not, though you are amazing. It just relies on you taking a step of faith in God and just inviting someone to hear a message that will change their life, inviting them to experience the power of God. And there are so many groups and spheres of influence represented in this room, so many parts of our community and our nation and even internationally, I believe, that could just be transformed by you saying yes to the invitation to carry Jesus to your world. In this moment, before we pray and, you know, accept that invitation and pray over our invitations in our hand this morning, I just do want to ask the question, a very personal question. So for that reason, would you close your eyes and bow your head?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.